Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more and find the store nearest to you.
Hey, thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. This is Katie, HRN Executive Director, and I'm so excited to share with you our coverage from the Charleston Wine and Food Festival.
We are here live today at Charleston Wine and Food.
Join us as we talk all things food.
Come to Charleston, eat some seafood. Eat all of the seafood.
Chicken fried chicken with chorizo steak and salsa verde mashed potatoes.
So quintessentially like Southern fare at its finest.
And have important conversations.
We're also talking about professional women in restaurants and how underrepresented they are, people of color in restaurants, and how they're not talked about.
We get real with Food Network's Manit Chauhan.
Balance is BS. I was told that I wasn't going to be bleeped out.
And find out about raising sugarcane with Chef Sean Brock.
It's like being Indiana Jones or something. You never know what you're going to find.
You'll come away inspired by the power of food and the food scene in Charleston. Here's Dr. Jessica B. Harris.
Food is constantly in flux. Food is always moving. Food is the only real lingua franca that we have that allows us to connect with other folks.
So tune in to Heritage Radio Network on tour at heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't go wrong.
Hey, what's up?
Hey there, airwaves. I'm Amanda Dell.
I'm Kimberly Chow. This is Recommended Reading with Food Book Fair, a show where we talk about what we're reading, watching, and listening to with hosts Amanda Dell and Kimberly Chow and guests from all over the food and media worlds. Yeah. We're also the co-directors of Food Book Fair, a biannual bi-coastal festival all about writing about eating.
Definitely keep your eyes peeled and head over to foodbookfair.com, where we will soon be releasing our spring signings hosted at the Union Square Green Market. We are so thrilled to be having another season at the Green Market. Every Saturday we're there starting 10 to noon, and we host amazing authors. They sign their books and you get to chat with them. A lot of the times there is sampling. So it's finally starting to feel like spring in New York today a little bit. So I wanted to just make sure that everyone keeps their eyes open for the return of our season of signing at the Union Square Green Market.
In the meantime, from our bunker and the back of Roberta's Pizza in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn, we have an incredible show for you today. We're really excited to be bringing on the founder of Equity at the Table. That's EAT, E-A-T-T for short, a new directory and resource by and for folks of color, women of color, specifically gender non-conforming folks, queer folks who are moving and shaking in the food world. That's Julia Tertian, cookbook author and dear friend of Food Book Fair, past Food Book Fair participant. She'll be calling in shortly. We're also joined by the writer, author, and pastry chef, Clancy Miller, who is on the advisory board of EAT. Full disclosure, I, Kimberly Chow, am also on and very, very proud to be on the advisory board of EAT. We're really excited to tell you all about why we're doing what we're doing and how we're trying to shake things up. And in the meantime, we're going to talk between Amanda and I about what we're recommending and representing these days as winter finally, hopefully ends. But in the meantime, it's been really cold and I've just been inside listening to a lot of Cardi B.
I second that. First, I want to give a personal congratulations to Clancy and Kim now that I am with them in the studio, and will to Julia as well. You guys, huge accomplishment and you should be really proud. EAT is amazing. So be super proud and flaunt it, and hope it is starting to do what it was intended for. And looking forward to talking about that a lot more today.
Yeah, I cannot wait to talk more about using different forms of media to burn shit to the ground and then build it back up.
Wow. All right.
I'm channeling my Cardi boss bitch moves.
Making money moves, as she says.
She says a lot of other things too.
Totally.
Highly recommend Invasion of Privacy.
All of it.
All of it. That's Clancy for you.
Yeah.
Well, definitely was listening to Cardi B, but also Drake. He released a new video for his song Nice For What. And I definitely spent some time over the cold weekend looking at that. I have a personal soft spot for Drake.
I think a lot of us do for various reasons. Yeah.
For me, you know, I think at his core, he's just a nice Jewish boy, and that's what gets me sometimes.
I think Aubrey's your Bichert.
Maybe he is. Maybe he is. We'll just have to see what happens. But I think, you know, there was a lot, first of all, written about this Drake song, which I found really interesting. It was like, you know, Vogue wanted to do their coverage of the video and song, which, of course, went over all of the outfits of what the women in the video were wearing.
So for those of you who haven't seen it yet, you should check it out. It's called Nice For What. It's a new single by Drake. It samples Lauryn Hill's classic X Factor.
It's also directed by a 22-year-old woman named Karina Evans, which hopefully we'll get to talk about.
She also directed God's Plan, Drake's previous hit video. The video dropped at 11 o'clock on Friday. Is it? Yeah, on Friday. One of my favorite tweets was that Drake stays making music for women to listen to while they get ready to go out.
Totally.
And in a way, it really is a song in service of women calling up the girls getting gassed up on a Saturday.
Or stay in. Or stay in. I was staying in, so I enjoyed it.
As the song says, you've been working overtime all this last month. It's Saturday. Call your girls. Get them gassed up.
Okay. Well, maybe that will be my weekend next weekend.
But Drake, I think Drake supports all forms of self-care and self-love for women, which the song is really about.
Yeah.
And the video features many actresses, athletes, musicians, including Sid, including Misty Copeland, Olivia Wilde, Emma Roberts. Tracy Ellis Ross in an incredible silver wide-legged pantsuit.
I mean, she's like a disco ball gone better. She is just like her own undulating like disco ball around.
Got it.
Yeah, I love her.
And it's a bounce inspired song, inspired by New Orleans bounce. And
right.
Samples Big Freed, yeah. So there's been a lot of writing about it.
Yeah.
Tell us what you've been reading about this.
Well, I will say one thing, which you did make me feel better about, and so did Clancy when we discussed it a little earlier. This song samples Lauryn Hill's song X Factor from The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Now, you guys were trying to make me feel better about this, but I was kind of thinking like, damn, I'm like old enough that a new song can sample a song that I feel like I grew up with. You guys said not to feel bad about this, but I'll try to move on from it. I love the song, and if people are taking, you know, cues from it and using it and revitalizing it, you know, in a new way. I mean, I love Drake's song, but also you can't really improve on the Lauryn Hill version, in my mind.
My only issue with the song, if I may, is that they sped up X Factor to such an extent. I was like, whoa. But yeah, I also feel like it's valid to use X Factor. At this point, I feel like I've heard iPhone rings sampled in songs. So everything current can be material.
What do you think of Cardi B's use of X Factor?
Cardi B can do no wrong.
Also, you guys, the song Be Careful, which has been out for a few weeks now. That was sort of the lead single to this album, L-A-B-E. Invasion of Privacy. During the chorus, she sings a line from X Factor. Sort of a slower, subdued version.
Yeah. I love that song.
Yeah. But yeah. Implied, it's not a threat, it's a warning. There's definitely, it's chill, but it's, there are fangs there. I love that song.
Cardi B can do no wrong at this point.
And speaking of the deep time of X Factor, I do want to bring up that Mimi Wilson from Team Food Book Fair, who works with us on our show, she points out, thanks to the internet, that DeAndre on Twitter, a.k.a. at Dre Eastwood, tweeted, in 2018, Drake sampled Lauryn. In 1998, Lauryn sampled Wu-Tang. In 1993, Wu-Tang sampled Gladys Knight's The Way We Were from 1974. 44 years of history in a single record. Appreciate that.
Mm.
There's a whole thread, which I can't get into. But it has 52,000 likes and 18,500 retweets. So
wow.
Only feel proud in your love of X Factor and its place in your life.
And its evolution. Time. Wow. You know, I think that when I was home on Friday night enjoying the Drake video, it made me think about how we're in a completely different time of how we consume media. I mean, when we were growing up, and kind of, I'll speak for myself, when I was growing up in the Lauryn Hill era, we would like
shout
wait.
Out Columbia High School.
Yes, always
Amanda and Lauryn Hill's alma mater.
Yes, the inside. I think I may have mentioned this before, but when CDs used to come with their own booklet, like on the inside, that would be the cover, and then would have the lyrics often inside. That was shot inside of our first floor women's restroom at our high school, which wasn't really that nice, to be honest, but for whatever reason.
Shout out Columbia High School. Hopefully Maplewood, New Jersey?
Maplewood in South Orange. Hopefully they got a little renovation there, but that's for the new students there. But it's like, you know, we would have to wait like for on MTV for a video to come out, and maybe it would debut during, you know, maybe they would show it during before or after TRL, or like during it, or during certain like video viewing hours that they would have on MTV. But now it's like you can watch a video over and over again whenever you want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those that are making videos would, you know, can only view that as something positive. But I'm wondering if we as consumers, like, does our fatigue come on faster, like, or if we're able to watch it so
attention
many
spans
times.
Shorter. Right. I'm capable of watching the same thing a lot, but I'm unique and special in that way. But I do want to add, and this is going to tie into our larger conversation, representation in media has changed a lot since the days of the miseducation of Lauryn Hill, and I think for better. So not only is there different kinds of access to the forms of media that people are making, but you're also seeing people are seeing themselves represented in a different way, whether that's powerful women, whether it's gender nonconforming folks, like Sid being in this video, I thought was really amazing. I love her and I think she's incredible, but it's not who you would necessarily think of in a conventional rap video.
Right. It's a big jump from like video vixens or like women that were always objectified in videos. And now one of the most popular artists, Drake, made a video that features women, but the context is different.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, we're living in the Cardi B era where she talks about the validity of choosing to make your money in whatever way you want, whether that's as a video vixen, a dancer, or now someone making money moves.
Right. It's your choice, your way.
Yeah. I had a really interesting conversation, speaking of representation, with a friend of mine that I didn't think this would come up, but this was like a late night texting conversation about Nice for What. And I thought there was such incredible diversity in age and ethnicity and femininity or non-femme conformity in the video. But I was kind of bummed there wasn't an Asian woman in it. Mm. And then I felt like I didn't deserve to be bummed.
Hmm.
And I was reading, and this came up for me. This feeling came up for me again. I felt very strange saying that out loud until someone said it to me, who is an Asian. And she was like, I was just wondering, there weren't Asian women in this video. Should there have been? And then she, shout out to her. I think you'll know who you are if you're listening to this. She watched all of Karina Evans' past videos and texted me late in the middle of the night. And was like, found an Asian star in this video. Just wanted to let you know. But I was reading this essay by Alex Jung for an interview, actually. Alex Jung interviewing Sandra Oh, who has a new TV show on ABC called Killing Eve, where she's the protagonist. And it's like one of those, you know, storied cop versus killer stories. And she's an M15 agent, M15 agent, and she's chasing down this serial killer. And serial killer and vixen. And she was reading the script with her agent. Sandra Oh is a Korean-American actress, best known for playing Christina Yang on Grey's Anatomy. Jesus. No, I'm like totally Drake brainwashed.
It would be if Drake was like guest starring on Grey's Anatomy.
McDrizzy. Anyway, hey. Sandra Oh, she's talking in the interview to Alex Jung about reading the script and talking to her agent and saying, but what part is for me? And her agent's like, girl, It's the lead. I'm asking you to read for the lead. That's for you. And she was just saying that it was so internalized for her that she was so used to not having an Asian American woman be the presumed lead that she never thought, even when someone was offering this role to her, she didn't think it was about her or for her. So that's something I've been sitting on today and thinking about. And
thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah. Highly recommend. I also ran into and met Alex Jung on the street. I think he's a great writer. I told him so. It was kind of awkward, but I like when that happens. Big fan. Big fan.
You ambushed him on the street.
He was with another friend, and then a day later I saw him again, and then
you had to go in.
I said hi again.
Okay.
I was carrying a paint can, but that's another story.
That's for another day. Well, let's, as much as we could talk about Drake and Cardi B, it seems like they're forever. Also want to get into what our guests for today are recommending and what they're reading, watching, or listening to.
Yeah.
So Clancy, maybe we'll start off with you. I see a really nice handwritten list. So thank you so much for preparing so diligently for our show.
You're welcome. Well, I had to, you know how you take in so much stuff? It's like, wait, what have I been reading or what am I consuming?
I think we can relate.
Yeah. So I was like, I need to write it down. Because yesterday in particular, when I wrote this list, I was consuming a lot of A, Cardi B.
Yeah.
B, this is not in any way, shape, or form food related, but Juno Diaz's story, The Legacy of Childhood Trauma.
Fuck.
I was sitting with that for a very long time yesterday. I don't know if a day can be considered a long time, but that was on my mind a lot. He's one of my favorite authors. But yeah, so that's all to say that between Cardi B and Juno Diaz, as well as like work stuff and writing stuff, I was like, I need to write down what I'm actually consuming over the course of like the past few days and weeks and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you my list.
Please do.
Definitely check out that Juno Diaz essay.
The Juno Diaz essay.
For folks who are listening.
Yeah. It's intense and it will likely trigger a number of people, but it's essential reading and very powerful and beautifully written as well. But yeah, so my list, slightly, it's on a lighter note. I just read this book, An American Marriage by Tyree Jones. I am one of the world's slowest readers, and I read that book in 24 hours, and I can't recommend it enough. It's intense, and it's for people who are interested in like incarceration. That's like kind of a theme in it. Cardi B has created an album with my personal manifesto and like my summer anthems. Mm-hmm. I do. L-O-V-E. Love it. That's my favorite song.
That's the album closer featuring SZA.
Yeah. Whom I love also. Also, what else have I been consuming? Atlanta.
Mm.
We were just talking about the Teddy Perkins episode, which I was also sitting with for quite a while. That's been on my mind for the past 72 hours. And so my cookbook, Cooking Solo, I've been consuming it in a different way because I've been doing recipe development for Local Roots.
Mm.
So figuring out how to like turn their gorgeous produce into recipes for one. Seasonally. And also I finally just tuned into Ugly Delicious on Netflix. I saw the episode about pizza.
Oh.
And I actually think Ugly Delicious is an interesting, like, I mean, we can talk about whatever, but it's an interesting way to get into talking about eat.
Yes.
Yeah. So
hold on to that.
Yeah.
Then.
I will. Yeah.
Julia, are you with us? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Julia.
How are you guys doing?
Hello, hello.
Good. How are you?
Thanks for letting me call in.
We're very honored to have you call in.
Oh,
our
please.
Pleasure. You sound great.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Where are you calling us from today?
I'm calling from my desk in my house. I think, Kim, you slept in this room.
I have slept in Julia's office. This is true.
So that's where I am. So
beautiful book selection there.
Yeah.
Maybe
2.5 hours from you guys. Happy to chat.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And we haven't spoken, Julia, it's Amanda. I just wanted to share my congratulations for the launch of
Thank you so much.
It's really
appreciate
incredible.
That.
So yeah, be super proud.
Thank you.
Can you tell us what you've been reading, watching, and listening to beyond refreshing the Eat page and smiling as the new submissions come in?
Email account, which is amazing. And I am just taking notes on Clancy's List because I agree with so much of it and learned some new things. I just was reading this morning the Juno Diaz article, and I haven't finished it yet, but it's unbelievable.
It's
oh, my God.
Incredible.
What else? I've been also reading, and I feel like you guys are all up on this already, but Sarah Franklin's book of essays, she collected about Edna Lewis. And there's one essay in particular in that, but I mean, they're all pretty unbelievable, and I feel like just tells such a, you know, more of a 360-degree view of such an incredible and important person. But I think Caroline Randall Williams' essay in the book, like, really has stayed with me. I reread it a few times. Like, there's just so many amazing details, and she herself is just such a gifted writer, and hearing her sort of draw connections between her life and her mother's life and Edna's life just really, like, has stayed with me. So I really recommend that book and that essay in particular.
Wow. I think there's an event at 92nd Street Y next week for the book, correct?
And this Sunday, the 15th in Kingston, New York, if anyone's looking for a trip outside of New York, I'm getting to moderate a panel that Sarah put together at this cool bookstore called Rough Draft in Kingston, and a bunch of great people are coming, including Mashima Bailey and Scott Barton, but also Edna's sister, Miss Ruth, and her niece are going to be there, so I'm super excited about that. And what else? Reading, watching, listening to. I've been watching Nailed It on Netflix. Have you guys watched it?
What is Nailed It? What's it about?
Oh, my God. It is a cooking competition show that is hysterical, and it's basically, I guess, like, amateur bakers, like, trying to recreate, like, really skilled baked goods. And it's hosted by this woman, Nicole, who just makes me laugh out loud. And it's just really fun to watch food sort of media that's just really funny. And, like, kind of laugh out loud funny. So that's been a really nice and enjoyable thing. And then on the complete other end of the spectrum, I guess this is kind of old news. It's from like a few weeks ago, but there was an episode of This American Life called Five Women that I just caught up on a few days ago, and it was unbelievable. And it tells the story of five women who all basically had different experiences with this guy who, Don Hazen, who edited a news website, who basically no longer does because of, allegations about sexual harassment, et cetera, et cetera. But it really tells the story from the perspective of the women and not him. And it was just done really beautifully. And then I listened to an interview with Hannah Joffrey Walt, who put together the episode, and they interviewed her on that podcast long form just about the process of doing that. So it was cool to listen to both of those together, like the show and then the kind of like making of it. So I highly recommend that.
I got to add that to my list. Yeah. That was brought up to me a while ago.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, I kind of had it like
that's a good reminder.
Marked, and then I finally got to it, and it was great.
Awesome. It sounds like you've got a lot on your plate that you've been consuming.
Well, I drive a lot, so I listen to a lot of podcasts like this one.
Thank you.
Awesome. While we're furiously scribbling down these notes, I think we may have to take a little break here at Heritage Radio Network to support this member-supported radio station. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back with Julia Tertian. Happy to have you. She's the founder of Equity at the Table. And also Clancy Miller, an advisory board member of Equity at the Table. Again, that's called EAT, EATT, very much inspired by the aphorism that it's better to build a longer table, not a higher fence. It's a brand new directory and community and online resource for all of us trying to transformatively shake things up. We're going to come back in a little bit and talk more about it.
Thank you.
Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. From papayas and samosas to reishi mushrooms, if it's something that sounds delicious, chances are you'll find the freshest, best version of it at Whole Foods Market. They have more than 400 stores across the country, so if you consider pizza its own food group or just can't imagine when avocado toast wasn't a thing, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com to find a store near you. Whole Foods Market. Whatever makes you whole.
Welcome back. You are listening to Recommended Reading with Food Book Fair. We are joined in the studio by Clancy Miller today and on the phone by Julia Tertian. Julia is a writer, an editor, an activist, a friend of Food Book Fair, and she is now the founder of Equity at the Table, which is a easy, according to EAT, E-A-T-T's website, an easy-to-navigate database for food industry professionals featuring only women or gender nonconforming folks and focusing primarily on people of color and the LGBT community. So, again, hearty congrats on the launch, Julia. And just hoping you can start off by telling us, in your own words, why it was important for you to found and bring to life Equity at the Table.
Sure, yeah. I think, you know, based on kind of conversations we've all, like literally, we've all been having with each other, and just, you know, having been in the industry for a while, you know, working on cookbooks was all I've ever done, and just kind of taking a look around at things that were happening. And I think in the age of kind of the world we're living in the age of this administration, in the age of the Me Too movement, et cetera, I think there's a need for some new tools and resources. And, you know, I think we're looking at problems in ways we never have before, which is both scary and amazing. And, you know, I don't know that I, you know every solution, but I definitely saw that there was room for a new tool and just a really helpful resource. So that's sort of the kind of moment in time, I guess, this idea was born from. And I think the idea of a database is nothing new. I've heard other people in food sort of talk about it here and there. I've seen really successful versions in other industries. And that's something that, you know, the advisory board, so Kim and Clancy can speak to that too. We sort of talked about looking at, you know, what has worked in other industries, and that's sort of how EAT was born, was just kind of this idea and a lot of, you know, both talking and listening, trying to do both those things. And yeah, I guess we started, what, a week ago? Last Wednesday or Thursday? I can't remember. It's been a blur.
Yeah. We went live about a week ago.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it did start before that. I think I first emailed the advisory board, and Kim and Clancy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was like in maybe like Thanksgiving-ish, like November-ish.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
Yeah. And then I think we, I found someone to build it, and then we started reaching out to people to join it. I made this form. I've learned a lot about technology. And we made this form that we started sending out in, I believe it was the beginning of February, because I felt important that it start with, you know, a really large group of people already on it so that we could launch it, you know, launch the thing itself, not like the idea of the thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that was, I mean, that was after, you know, taking a look at the database and the women that are featured, I was like, wow, you have included so many people from much further away than I thought. And, you know, even almost, you know, around the world. How did you reach out to so many people and get them to participate?
Yeah. Well, you know, I already spend most of my time like on my phone. I don't know what I'm doing on that thing, but I'm always on it. So I was like, can I use this in a way that's productive? It was literally just reaching out to kind of like everyone I know who sort of, you know, is in the EAT community, and then asking them who they recommended, spending so much time on on Instagram, sort of, you know, seeing who people I followed, who they were following, okay. That kind of stuff, just sending so many DMs, so many emails, just asking, and sort of kind of following the breadcrumbs wherever they went, and getting together this great group and asking people I knew in other places who they recommended. Like, we have quite a few members already from the UK, and I had reached out to Ruby Tando, who's, you know, an awesome writer, and she recommended a bunch of people. So it was sort of, you know, asking some people to get on board and then finding out who else, you know, they thought should be on board too.
Super cool. Yeah, I saw Eater UK covered it.
Yeah, Anna, and I'm totally blanking on her last name. I'm so sorry. But yeah, really nice woman named Anna. Super supportive. And she's on Eat, and then she wrote about it.
Awesome. Clancy, Julie, as an advisory board member, how are you, what is your like greatest hope for how people are going to use Eat, and what's some of the feedback that you've received, and how do you think the best, you know, maybe some of the best ways to get the word out about it?
Well, I think my greatest hope is that we can all see each other more, or see more of each other. I started out, or actually started last summer, working on a project that will evolve into something I hope I can share with you all, that involved me reaching out to a lot of women of color, and specifically okay. Black women in food. And I kept learning about new people, and it was very exciting for me to learn about people who I had never heard about. So my hope for Eat is that people both within the industry, who are the doers, the makers, the writers, the so on and so forth, will learn about one another, but also people outside of the industry will. I want it to be a platform for people, okay. because I think, to be really crude, or to use some crude language, I sometimes think the food community, or the, especially the media community, can seem like a circle jerk. And so, like,
we use circle jerk on the show.
I think this is it's a slightly crude, but I think a very apt description. So yeah. Feel
memorable.
Free.
Yeah, memorable.
So I definitely feel that way about the food media world, especially the mainstream food media world. Seems like a giant circle jerk, regardless of gender or lack thereof. And it's just the same people over and over again, and it's infuriating. I think Eat, the goal is, in my mind, to offer an alternative and also to like shine the light on ourselves, and to enjoy the light, and also to help each other, you know, like we all need to have new visions of who to collaborate with, and all the amazing, talented people out there who are possible collaborators. So that's like a hope. And I forget the other question.
Well, that was great. We can go on that.
Yeah.
Kim, I don't know if you have anything to add to that or.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing, Aaron Fairbanks, who used to be the executive directors at Heritage Radio Network, who's also a friend of ours, who also guest hosted the show when we were in LA for Food Book Fair. She recently said something about how her new favorite activity is just refreshing equityatthetable.com and smiling and looking at all the people on the website and finding out about people she didn't know about right. before and hopes to connect with and work with in the future. I love doing that too. I think just seeing all of the amazing, truly diverse group of people with different skill sets and can be resources and can be buoys to each other is really incredible and inspiring. I think, you know, when I'm in social settings or in sort of industry gatherings, I'm always looking for the other people of color in the room. So it's kind of amazing. you can go to those websites and we're all there. Or, you know, finding out, I think it's just a really powerful way for us to find each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Julia, did you have any, as you were forming the database, one of the things I really like best about it is food is a common thread throughout it, but it's also the type of work that those that are listed do is pretty broad. Like, mm-hmm. you have farmers on there, you have writers, but the common thread that brings them together in some way, you know, is food. And was that a very conscious decision? Did you have certain parameters, you know, of the type of work or the scope of work that, you know, the database would be defined by? Or is that kind of open? And have there been any great stories already about someone saying like, oh, I was looking for a recipe developer, but then I saw this farmer and maybe I'm going to work with them in a different way?
Yeah, I hope that has happened. I definitely think one of the reasons why, you know, I'm going to back up a minute and just say, you know, when I kind of thought about doing this, my first thought was, well, surely someone else has done this. Like, mm-hmm. this didn't feel like the most original idea in the world. I just wanted it to exist, you know. And I looked around and I looked around, and there's some stuff that's, like, kind of related but not quite this. And thinking about why, you know, I and, you know, the other advisory board members, I think we were all kind of looking as well. I think part of the reason why we hadn't seen it is because food is so huge. I mean, food is such a gigantic umbrella. And, you know, people talk about the food industry, but it's, you know, there's so many industries within the food industry. You know, there's everything from restaurants to cookbooks to, you know, podcasts, farms, everything. And then there's all of these sort of other industries that support those industries, so, right. you know, lawyers and on and on and on. So we're talking about a really big group, and it's kind of hard, you know, for me to wrap my head around, and I think the same for other people, and sort of breaking it down into categories, you know, opens us up to just to a lot of categories. But, you know, kind of what you said, food is the sort of string that ties it all together, and, you know, food is the thing everyone in the world has in common, whether you work in it or not. So in a way, I mean, EAT could grow to just, you know, be this huge thing. And I think we're trying to kind of, as much as possible, keep the, you know, sort of like the line around the map to basically include people who work in food and then people who are resources for all of us. And I, yeah, I don't know if I remember the other part of the question, but that was sort of the thought, is like, it's huge. And we had some really great back and forth, all of us, you know, Kim and Clancy included, on, you know, what are the categories? Like, where do we start? And the cool thing about building something that's on the internet is we can change things and we can add more. And, you know, it is evolving literally on a day-to-day basis. And I've heard from so many people who, you know, are so excited about it and supportive, which is awesome. And then they're like, but I don't, you know, I'm a food historian. I don't see myself on there. And, you know, that's something that hadn't occurred to me or, you know, wasn't brought up in our conversations. And it's like, okay, let's add one. Like, let's get you up on there, like, in a way that feels, you know, right to what you do and what you can offer. And I think the balance we're trying to strike, which we're, you know, all continuing to talk about, is, you know, keeping it as sort of broad and inclusive as possible, and as with as much helpful detail, but also keeping it really easy to navigate.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And I think another thing that has really floored me, and I would love to hear from you, Clancy and Julia, what you've heard as well, is just the support that we've gotten from people who are advocates and allies, mm-hmm. who don't necessarily identify as WOC or GNC or LGBT mm-hmm. women, who say, I'm donating to your Patreon campaign. I would love to support this in whatever way possible. I'm telling other people about it. And one of the things that I've been thinking of is that Shaq Simley, who's another advisory board member and a dear companera, mentioned now people have no excuses. There's no reason mm-hmm. not to hire a food stylist or feature a chef or hire a new cook or a photographer who is not a white dude. Did I get that? Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She tweeted that. I retweeted it. Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah. That was the best. That was one of the best, like, tweet announcements. Like, seriously, no excuses. Exclamation point.
Trying to make it easy, Amanda. As it says, it's easy to navigate.
Yeah. It is really, I think the brilliance of it, and this is like, hats off to you, Julia, is the fact that it is so simple. Like, there's mm-hmm. an elegance in the simplicity, and it's literally simple to navigate. And it's also one of those things, I totally hear you when you're like, I can't believe this didn't already exist, mm-hmm. but I'm so glad you decided to build it. And I'm grateful to be a part of it. And it has been really beautiful. I too have gotten notes on my Instagram page of, oh my gosh, brilliant idea. Or, you know, like, how can I get involved? And I've seen people shout out to their social circles and say, I just want you all to know, like, this is out there. This is a tool. I know a young woman who works in the beverage industry who's like, this is a huge tool for us too. So it's really cool. It's really encouraging just to see other people light up upon learning about it. It's exciting.
Yeah. It's been super, I think encouraging is so the right word. And, I'm so grateful to just everyone who's been involved and, you know, whether it's, you know, you guys, Kim and Clancy, the other advisory board members, and anyone who's just sharing it and using it. And, you know, I've heard from some people, sort of to go back to your question about, you know, who might not fit, like, the sort of parameters to be on EAT, but who want to support it and, you know, who are doing that in different ways. And, you know, when asked, like, what's the best way to support it, I just tell people to use it. We keep coming back, and, like, we're adding new members constantly. Just, like, anytime you need someone, like, if you need to hire someone, if you, you know, have a chance to suggest someone, if you just want to learn about someone new and follow them, like, just keep coming to the site. Just use it. I think that's the best way to support it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were so many people on it that I was, you know, not aware of. And as Kim said, it's really fun and exciting to kind of refresh that page and see not only people you know, but have a chance to learn about, you know, new people in our industry. And I also thought it was just so clever how you included also like lawyers who specialize in, you know, whether it's like restaurant contracting or
bookkeepers.
But accountants. Because it's like, you know, I feel like even though we're a lot of us are in this business in one way or another, the food industry, we're like just always, instead of trying to find someone random, we're always searching for that person that knows someone else that can, you know, kind of co-sign on another person and have, and as Kim and I attended, you know, a beautiful dinner at the Green Table last night, and we heard our friend Aura Wise speak, who was amazing, and it was in collaboration with Glenwood Farms. Like, a huge takeaway from that night last night was, still with all of, you know, this technology and everything else around us, what really matters and what can really, you know, take you on the whatever your next step you want is relationships. And I feel like this is just such a great stepping stone for to be able to start those relationships.
I mean, I think the most sort of the highest power of food, you know, at the end of the day is just, you know, it brings people together. So that can be, you know, over a meal or, you know, through any of the content that all of us kind of work on creating and getting out there. You know, food is it's how we connect. And so to me, EAT is an extension of that. Like, here's a place for all of us, just as Clancy said, to not just, you know, learn about each other, but connect with each other. And to find that person, you know, we're all looking for when it comes time to, you know, do your taxes or build your website or, you know, all the work that kind of is around the work that we all do. And I think it's just, I think EAT is a place to just sort of connect all these dots and,
Well, really, we are all really excited to see all the ways that it will continue to grow and develop for many, many reasons. How can people find and use EAT online and on social media?
Yeah, great question. Thank you. So the website is equityatthetable.com, all spelled out. And you can, you know, learn about EAT there. You can search the whole directory. You can you know, find anyone. You can just scroll through. You can also join directly through the site. It's super easy. It takes like a minute. And you can also link out to the Patreon? Who knows? Anyway, you can link out to the page there if you want to support EAT financially. So that's all there. And then we're also on Instagram, and the handle is also Equity at the Table, all spelled out. And Mimi is making the Instagram page amazing and another place for us all to learn about each other and connect with each other and, you know, find out about, you know, things we're all up to and places we can attend and grants people can apply for. And, you know, it's just really a helpful feed.
Cool. We can't wait to see the many other resources and folks and ways to get involved that EAT will reveal.
Yeah, very, very excited to see the future of EAT and can only imagine how big it will become.
It's been exciting to see the Instagram numbers grow. You were saying that.
My nerd confession. I do refresh equityatthetable.com a lot, but I mostly look at the Instagram and see the number goes up.
Totally. Yeah.
I think the whole thing, I mean, kind of one big theme of what we've been talking about, I feel like, is just like word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And I think, especially when it comes to food, to everything, I think it's like the most powerful thing. So I think it's just cool to see, you know, a conversation that, you know, like we, again, literally we, like, have been having with each other, just grow and go, you know, in other people's communities and have them spread the word. And I think what is so powerful about EAT is that it's, you know, it's something, you know, I bought the domain name for, and, you know, the advisory board is, you know, involved, but it's not about any of us as individuals. It's about a much bigger community that, you know, I'm super happy to be a part of.
Likewise.
Thank you for so much for sharing in this community and with us on the radio today.
Thanks for having me. It's fun to talk to you guys. I wish I was with you in person, but soon.
Next time.
Yeah. We'll have to do it again when we all pull up to a physical table.
Absolutely.
Totes.
Thank you so much. This has been Julia Tershen, cookbook author, founder of Equity at the Table, an amazing new directory and resource. EAT, that's at Equity at the Table on Instagram. And Clancy Miller, writer, cookbook author, pastry chef, advisory board member of EAT. Thanks for joining us.
This has been my pleasure. Yeah, I love it.
Thanks for tuning in to Recommended Reading with Food Book Fair. You can find more info about Food Book Fair at foodbookfair.com. And also definitely check out our radio page for Recommended Reading on heritageradionetwork.org and become a member.
And don't forget, let us know what you think of the show. You can review us on iTunes, on Stitcher, and anywhere else you pod. Speaking of representation, let you know what you want represented.
Give us those 5 stars.
And also, like, tell us feedback for real,
though. Yes, that would be lovely. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.